Okay, so am I up? Okay, so thank you, Dee and Billy, for the opportunity to come share with you. My experience has been delegate, past delegate panel 70. So I'm not sure, I've never sort of been to this. I don't know if you guys go through the service manual, but Billy asked me last night to do this. And he said, hey, just share about your experience as being a delegate. So that's what I'm here to do. He said, I have 35 minutes to do that. And then you guys open it up for questions, and I get questions in the chat. And I'm not sure if someone facilitates that or I receive the questions. We'll figure it out, right? Alcoholics are great at flying by our seat. So I'll give a little background just so you understand where I'm coming from. I think that's important. My sobriety date is 5/6/02. So this year I'll celebrate 20 years if I stay sober until the day after Cinco de Mayo. I always say nobody can get sober on Cinco de Mayo. So I got sober on the 6th. In 2002, the first 10 years of my sobriety, I knew nothing about general service. I want to make that clear. So I was involved with a very strong recovery group, well-grounded in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had great sponsorship. I sponsored guys. I chaired meetings. I was a part of my home group. But, you know, I was kind of raised in AA to view general service as kind of like the black ops or politics of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? We were, you know, organic grassroots movement, boots on the ground, 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, saving drunks lives kinds of people. And we didn't want to bother with what was going on at the area or the district. So for the first decade of my sobriety, I really had no idea what a delegate was or what an area assembly was, right? And then something happened, our group had a split, and some of us formed a new group. It was called Back to the Big Book Group, and I got elected GSR. So I'd asked my good friend Larry C. if he'd be willing to sponsor me, and he said no. But he gave me a number to a past delegate panel 40 named Larry A. from Area 64, who introduced himself to me, and we started working. And he took me through the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts and the literature that supports that, just like my recovery sponsor took me through the 12 steps as are outlined in the book. And I soon realized that Alcoholics Anonymous is based on 36 principles, not 12, right? We have three legacies, not one, right? And we'll talk a little bit about why recovery is so important with what you do as a delegate. And I don't think that's something that we talk about enough, right? So I can say all the stuff that you're going to read or you've already read in the beautiful service manual, that a delegate is responsible for carrying the viewpoints and opinions of their respective areas to the conference. And how do we do that? Right. So the way that we do it in Area 64 is we have a mock conference, a second quarter assembly. And then on the February the 15th, when background comes out, the agenda in the background for that corresponding conference, then we send all that out to everybody that we have an email for. So all voting members, GSRs, DCMs, area officers, past delegates, standing committee chairs, they all get the background, all 6, 7, 8, 900, 1100 pages, whatever it is that year. And then we set up pre-conference reports throughout the area. Now, during COVID, most of those were on Zoom. When we would have a break, you know, Delta would go away before Omicron would come. And I was second year delegate at that time. And I was able to slip out to Memphis and do a live post-conference report. And then Omicron comes down and then, you know, we're back on Zoom. But pre-pandemic and now we do pre-conference reports on the road and we visit districts. And we encourage that district to invite their groups. And we have a discussion about how those groups feel about the content of the background. Do you want to see gender neutrality in the preamble? Do you want a plain English big book? Do you want a fifth edition big book? What do you think about this change in policy procedure? What do you think about this? What do you think about the plan to reorganize? And we gather all that information, right? As the delegate, I'm responsible to try to flesh out how my groups in my area feel about that background, right? And then I go to conference and I take those viewpoints and opinions with me to conference and I lay them out on the floor, right? And then I listen to what all the other delegates in our conference say. And then when I vote for what's best for AA as a whole. So I could hear Area 64's voice about the preamble, and then I could be going to conference with Area 64's viewpoints and opinions, and then hear something different from other delegates of the conference and not vote exactly how Area 60 felt, just Area 64 felt, right? And that's right of decision. So I have an ability, I have a responsibility to vote for what's best for Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole when I'm at conference, right? The delegate is the connection between the area and between the conference, right? So the boards, General Service Board, AAWS, Grapevine Board, they will send me information. Staff sometimes will just send it to me, and it's my responsibility to send it out to my area. So we paid, I think, $200,000 three or four years ago for a communications audit. You know, we thought, well, let's see how we're communicating inside and outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. So we paid this outside consultant, and they evaluated how we communicate. And surprisingly, not really, they said, you communicate terribly. You're not communicating within your structure. You're not communicating outside of your structure with non-AAs in your community. Boards are not communicating with boards. Boards are not even communicating with staff. There's a communication breakdown in Alcoholics Anonymous. And they listed some of those reasons. One of the reasons was our lack of willingness to adopt technology that the modern world around us is using. That was a big deal, right? But it also gave something that was really important. And it said this, it said a delegate's, or it said the communication pathway from boards or New York, right, or staff to an area is only as good as the delegate's ability to communicate, right? And when we look at concept 9, Bill Wilson talks about what makes a good leader. And I encourage all of you, when I sponsor guys in service and I take them through the 12 concepts, we start with concept 9 first. That's the first thing we talk about, because within that concept is a definition of what a good leader looks like. And if you're a trusted servant, GSR, DCM, area chair, standing committee chair, delegate, alternate delegate, obviously. If you're a trusted servant, you are a leader in Alcoholics Anonymous, and you have a certain set of responsibilities defined by our principles. I think that's something that we forget. There was a post on a private group that I admin called SES, and it was someone saying, how do I get better at unity? You know, I've been through the 12 steps. I've recovered from alcoholism. But what do I need to do about getting better at unity? We know that unity is represented by the traditions, right? But there were all kinds of comments from good AAs that meant well about how you get better at unity. It was all over the place. But no one mentioned the traditions, right? So I commented on there, well, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has a set definition for unity and service and recovery. You know, we have a set of principles that relates to each one of those legacies. The traditions, obviously, you know, are unity. And then the concepts are service. And we know recovery is 12 steps. So the concepts spell out how our performance should look spiritually. I think it's important to remember that the concepts are spiritual in nature, just like the 12 steps are. It's not a list of stuff that we do at conference and then that's it. It's spiritual principles that we try to adhere to, that we try to practice when we're working with each other the best that we can. Spiritual nature, right? Those principles, the 12 concepts, define our perspectives, our attitudes, our responsibilities, our positions, our spiritual positions while we're doing service work. If you read concept 9, Bill's very specific about what makes a good leader, and I won't go through all of them, but he said a leader must have vision. You know, a leader must be able to see into the future and think big picture, right? And then try to explain that big picture. A leader must be willing to bend on what he knows is right so he can sacrifice and meet his opponent or someone that he's arguing with or someone on the other side in the middle. So if I know that this is right for Alcoholics Anonymous by traditions, and I know that I'm having a conversation with someone who thinks the opposite, I have to be willing to sacrifice what I want and meet this person in the middle, even if I know I'm sacrificing what's best for Alcoholics Anonymous. That is a characteristic of a good leader. That's a characteristic of a good delegate. So I'm saying all this to say that being a good delegate is defined in concept 9 and the other concepts. So here's what I want to say past that. So I don't know, we could show virtual hands, but whatever. But, you know, my question for the group is, how many of us are really familiar with those principles, those characteristics of a leader outlined in concept 9? I'm promising you that if you're an alcoholic like I am, which means that you had the phenomenon of craving, that you had a mental twist that prevents normal functioning of the willpower, that you were consumed with yourself and still are on most days, that you're self-absorbed, that you're egotistical, that those are common problems, right, that allow you to identify as an alcoholic. If you're that way, it is impossible to adhere to the spiritual principles of the concepts, particularly concept 9, right? So when I think when the communications audit identified that communication is only as good as the ability or performance of the delegate, they weren't saying that some of us have master's degrees and some of us dropped out in seventh grade. They didn't mean that some of us are great used car salesmen or Baptist preachers like me, and some of us are more, you know, intellectual or whatever. It meant that, you know, really what it was saying, and the consultant probably didn't even realize that. So what the consultant was really saying is that there are a lot of alcoholics and Alcoholics Anonymous who have not fully recovered from alcoholism. There's a lot of people that you will serve with, that you'll go to conference with, if you get elected to delegate, that you're serving your group, that you're GSR and DCM. There's a lot of people that you will serve with who have not had a spiritual awakening as a result of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, that's not our responsibility, and we can't do anything about that unless it's in our wheelhouse sponsorship. But for us individually, it's paramount that we recover from alcoholism before we can be effective leaders. I used to do this PowerPoint presentation, Area 64 around the state, and it was why Area 64 needs you, you know, kind of like the old Uncle Sam government, you know, why Uncle Sam needs you. And there's a couple slides on there, and I would say, who makes the best trusted servant? And then I'd ask everybody. People would say, well, well-dressed, you know, or they'd say intellectual or smart, or they'd say, you know, well, you got to have money to be delegate, or, you know, availability, you know, all those are decent answers. But I'd flip the slide over and it'd say sober alcoholics. The best kind of alcoholic to be a trusted servant is a sober alcoholic. And I mean emotionally sober, right? I can assure you, you know, I served panel 70. So I attended the 70th and 71st General Service Conference. I was elected the 71st General Service Conference Public Information Chairperson. You know, it was GSR, DCM, area chair, alternate delegate, and delegate. And I can assure you that over that 10-year span, there were a lot of issues that I had personally, relationship issues with people in Alcoholics Anonymous, leadership problems, communication problems, putting a lot of fires out. And if I wasn't well-grounded in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous with the belief in a power greater than myself, I would have not been the delegate that I think that I was and that other people seem to think that I was, which was pretty decent, right? So I just kind of want to open up and talk about that as we go through this discussion, we need to remember that recovery is on the bottom of our triangle, right? It's the foundation. It's the base. When I sponsor my guys and they come to me and they say, hey, I just got elected DCM. One of the first questions I ask them is, that's awesome. Where are you at in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and in your recovery and your relationship with your higher power? And they say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. I need to know how to put an agenda together. And I said, oh, it's got a lot more to do with what we're talking about than you think, right? You will need to be properly armed with the spiritual kit of tools that is supposed to be laid at your feet in Alcoholics Anonymous to be an effective leader. I know I'm starting to sound redundant, but I want to keep hitting that point over and over and over and over. It's the difference between reading the background before you go to conference and not even looking at it. It's the difference between hitting send and forwarding an email from GSO staff for a request for stories and a corrections pamphlet and not bothering with hitting send. It's the difference between having the confidence and the courage to stand up for principles that you know are right in Alcoholics Anonymous when it's not going to be the most popular thing to do compared to just being a yes man and going along with what everybody is saying because you know that's going to be the easier path of resistance or less path of resistance, right? It's the difference between showing up 5-10 minutes early and sometimes not even showing up at all, right? So the difference between being a good delegate and maybe a not so good delegate sometimes comes down to our spiritual condition. So if you don't have your alcoholism arrested, if you don't have a relationship with a higher power and you haven't had a spiritual awakening and you're not quite sure that you have recovered from a seemingly hopeless bind of seemingly helpless state of mind and body. I'm not saying don't serve delegate, don't be, but I'm saying prioritize that. Make sure that you do that, right? find out what the definition of an alcoholic is, do some writing, go through the steps, make amends, become free, so you can be responsible and serve your area in the capacity that it deserves, right? Alcoholics Anonymous gave me everything that I have today, right? Sitting in a new home, it's still, you see, that's a box that I haven't unpacked yet. We closed on January 21st. You see that table back there? That table is so special because that table is for little people. And we have three little people. We have Asher, who will be 4 in May. We have Elijah, who just turned 2. We have Noah, who's a whopping 6 weeks old, right? I have a profession that I can be proud of, that I can go to as an environmental engineer, that allows my wife to be a stay-at-home mom. We have a beautiful home. I'm surrounded by a host of friends and family, like the book talks about. I'm free. I have the trifecta that alcoholics never have. I have a driver's license, a car, and auto insurance, all 3 at the same time, right? Those are all a direct result of Alcoholics Anonymous. Why would I not serve as delegate to the best of my ability and give it all that I have when Alcoholics Anonymous has given me everything in life, everything that means anything to me? Even in reintroduction, you know, I was raised in church and I was taken to church and I was taught, you know, given a belief in God and came from good stock and good parents, but I lost all that through alcoholism. Alcoholics Anonymous reintroduced me back to a power greater than myself that not only keeps me sober on a daily basis, but gives me tools for survival. So as the 12 and 12 says, which I rarely quote, I can match calamity with serenity, right? So when life comes at me, I've got a set of tools that I can use to deal with that. So when we think about everything that Alcoholics Anonymous has given us, right? When we think of how, you know, there's all kinds of cliches. I'm not a big gratitude person list, but, you know, whatever. You know, but think about, you know, I saw this, well, if I'd have wrote a list down of everything that AA would have given me before I got here, I would have sold myself short, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, some of that stuff is important. You know, the point is that most of us, when we really think about it, are overwhelmed with the blessings that AA has given us. So I say that to say, when you serve as delegate, give it all you got. Give it everything that you have. Make sure you're well-grounded in spiritual principles. Another thing that I think holds us back from serving as the best delegates we could possibly be, and I say this a lot to all the guys I sponsor, is that we cannot compartmentalize sobriety. We can try, but at some point in time, it's going to bite us in the ass. And what do I mean by that? If I told you that I was in a loving marriage that was based on commitment and honor and respect and faithfulness, and then I told you that I was having an affair on the side with my wife and I was cheating on my wife, what would be your opinion of me? What would be your opinion of my ability to serve in a spiritual capacity to a body of people that try to live according to spiritual principles? Now, I'm not saying that we have to live a completely clean life, but I'm saying that if I have something in my life that has me completely tore up, it will prevent me functioning at 100% as delegate. If it's finances, if it's romance, if it's personal relationships, home life, you know, I know delegates who start off serving as delegate and they have a hard time, which we all do, balancing home life with their workload in Alcoholics Anonymous, and things at home don't look the same after a year as they did the beginning of the first year. And their functioning, their ability to serve their area becomes affected by their home life, right? So why am I saying all that? What helps us handle all that? What helps us have happy, wholesome marriages or relationships with another partner? What helps us balance life where we give our family and our home the time it deserves and we give work the time it deserves while we're serving Alcoholics Anonymous? What allows us to function with emotional balance? The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You will be a far more effective delegate if you're well-grounded in the steps, right? So let's just get that out of the way. So what are some of the things when we go through, we do pre-conference reports, how do we generate conversation? You know, one of the biggest problems in Alcoholics Anonymous today is apathy, not really caring. And Bill called it out. And I've been like this myself sometimes. I've been like this. You know, I served for 10 years and you know, Area 64 and, you know, was on the road a lot before the pandemic. And then after the pandemic, I was even almost busier. Because, you know, when people like have you come speak and do a workshop, you have to like get on a plane and fly or you have to get in your car and drive. And there's this thing, you know, that happens where they got to set stuff up and make flyers and all that. And that's usually on the weekend, right? But when it's the pandemic and we have Zoom, there was a point in time when I was doing a workshop almost every day, particularly 71st General Service Conference Public Information Chair. You know, we were rolling out a podcast. We were trying to tighten up LinkedIn. We were looking at Netflix. There was a lot of great stuff going on, and people wanted to hear about it in the middle of a pandemic. So I found myself on a workshop almost every night. So I had to roll that back some. Dee messaged me a couple months ago. I was like, is everything cool, Shane? Like, you're not quite as responsible. I'm like, Dee, listen. Like, I gave Alcoholics Anonymous General Service 10 years of my life, and now my babies are going to have more than they've had. And they're getting to the age where they need that, right? But anyway, what are some of the things that some of the tools that we can use to help fight apathy? How do you pull out from your groups or your districts how they feel about the content of the background? There's other responsibilities that a delegate has, and they're outlined in the service manual, the gorgeous, beautiful service manual that we voted and passed unanimously at conference. I love it. I think it's amazing. I think the study that you guys are doing is great. I'm sorry I haven't had an opportunity to be on here, but, you know, little people. But, you know, the main focus point, the main point of being a delegate is to gather that information in your area and take it to conference. That's the most important part of your job, right? Giving reports at your area assembly is important, you know. Keeping people plugged into what's going on with the area, supporting, you know, you guys do whatever, but your area does whatever. But in Area 64, we've always tried to encourage our delegate to support the WIPOC community, you know, or other communities within our area. You know, we've tried to stay plugged into central office at some level the best we can. And trust me, like, I'm not a big central office person. But anyway, we try to keep them plugged in and try to keep them updated on what's going on. Those things are all important. Some of that's in the service manual, some of it's not. But the most important thing that you do is take those viewpoints and opinions of your groups to the conference, right? So how do you jar that information out of alcoholics who are apathetic? Bill says in the service manual, he says, look, most alcoholics only care about one thing, themselves, their home group, right? They don't really care about much of it. And then some of them will care enough to want to try to help others, right? And that's probably how it should be. You know, carry the message to the next suffering alcoholic and take care of my home group and myself, and I'm done, right? But it's our responsibility as people who care and who have passion, who are not apathetic and Alcoholics Anonymous, to drive an interest in those other members in AA that might not quite get it yet, right? And that's all it is. I don't think Alcoholics Anonymous is full of a bunch of lazy people who just don't care, although that could be true at some level, but I think we really just don't get it, you know? One of the greatest things about the 71st General Service Conference and all these literature changes, which I voted for some of them and I voted in opposition for them, but one of the greatest things is how up in arms, of course, we're on Zoom, you know, from all different, I don't know what kind of different areas we have on here, but remember, I served, as you can tell, it should be abundantly clear that I'm not from New Jersey. I'm from the great state of Tennessee, which is the southeast of the Bible Belt. So you can make some pretty accurate assumptions about how my area felt about certain items on the background last year, right? And a lot of them are tore up about it. But I think it's great in a way, because here's why. I told you all along that if you don't participate in the discussion and you don't let people know how you feel and you don't pay attention to what's in the background, people are going to make decisions on your behalf, whether you're part of that discussion or not. The world moves on. Conference goes on, right? And here's what I found, and here's what I share with people. I share this. I say, you know, you don't always have to be on the winning side to feel like a part of. We really feel a part of when we're a part of the discussion. Have you ever been in your business meeting at your home group or business meeting at the district, and there's something that you really think is important and you're fighting for it and you really want it to happen, and then the vote's cast and then it goes the other way? And, you know, maybe you're sore that night and the next day, but in the end, when the smoke settles, you still feel like you're a part of that discussion and that decision-making process. What if they held a secret district meeting and didn't tell you because they knew how you felt, and then they voted without you even knowing about it? Then you would really feel left out, right? Because you didn't even have an opportunity to share how you felt or how your group feels in that district meeting. So we think we don't like how things go when stuff doesn't go our way, but it's mainly we don't like how things go when we don't know what's going on and we're not a part of the discussion, right? So we need, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous is a team. We make decisions based on group consciousness and what groups want, right? We make decisions based on a discussion of all the viewpoints and opinions from all across the conference. Like, I need that data. You know, this is me talking to my area. I need to know how you guys feel. Let's take a sense of the body. Let me send out a survey. Let me come to your district, buy me pizza, and let me come to your district with a PowerPoint presentation and a suit and a tie, and we'll spend 7 hours talking about the preamble and gender neutrality. Let's get it out on the table and have a roundtable discussion, and let's hash it out. You tell me how you feel, and I will do my best to represent your voice and viewpoint at conference when I go. You have to explain to them why it's important that they come to your pre-conference report, that they come to your post-conference report, that they read the background, that they ask questions, that they look stuff up. You know, on a more basic level, you have to let them know why it's important to elect the GSR, to elect the DCM, to come to an area assembly meeting. You know, once we figure out we got to show up, then we got to figure out what we're going to do when we get there, which is study the background, share the background with our groups, with our districts. Share how our groups and districts feel with our delegate. If you're not excited, though, if you don't have passion as a delegate, if you don't have passion as a DCM, if you don't have passion as a GSR, your group or your district or your area is not going to have passion. They will not have a fire lit under them if you don't have a fire lit under you. When a GSR comes to me and says, I just can't get my group to pay attention to anything. They don't want to hear my Area 64 report. They don't want to read the background. They don't want to talk about the background. They don't care. They're apathetic. They're not fired up. What do? I say, you get fired up. You get fired up. Same thing with DCMs. It was really common for me to drive way out in rural Tennessee somewhere on a football Saturday. Alabama and Tennessee's playing, and they booked me to do a pre-conference report in Greenville, Tennessee, which is Chattanooga's East Tennessee. But Greenville's east. It's 3 hours from Chattanooga, right? And there's like a Howard Johnson and a Crystal in the high school, and that's it, right? So I drive out there, you know, on a Saturday, and I get there for this pre-conference report, and I have my power projector, you know, and I have my my suit and tie, and, you know, I've got pizza and, you know, my laptop, and I'm ready to talk about the background. There's like six people there, you know? And the DCM comes to me afterwards. He's like, man, I'm so sorry. We didn't have more people here. Like, I can't get them fired up about nothing. You know, I can't get them interested in anything. And I told him, which transparently, he was also my sponsee. So I was able to be a little bit more, you know, I said, well, so-and-so, you know, you're not excited about this stuff. You and I haven't talked about this stuff as sponsor sponsee. You're going through the motions and putting together stuff, but they can tell that you don't really care about this stuff, right? So if you don't care about it, they're not going to care about it, right? So we're almost at 35 minutes. So let's just kind of sum up some of the things that we talked about. You know, what's been my experience as delegate? You know, what's being a I don't want to say good delegate, but I think that's an okay word. What's being a good delegate versus maybe not so good delegate? Like, how do we pull all this together from what's in the service manual, right? So carrying the viewpoints and opinions from our respective groups to the conference. Trying to figure out a way to encourage people to participate and discuss. As a leader, you have to be a motivator. I've heard people in AA say, I'm a trusted servant leader, but I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm not a motivator. Yeah, you are, unfortunately. When you're in any leadership role in life, whether that's at work, Alcoholics Anonymous, T-ball coach, church, wherever, if you're in a leadership role, a component of those leadership responsibilities is motivation, right? So what do we do to motivate people to fight apathy, to get them fired up, right? What's important in my personal life? How do I maintain sanity, you know, through all of the commitment and dedication and putting out fires and tit for tats and fights? Like, how can I keep myself grounded? You know, what should I look like spiritually, internally, emotionally? How can I be more effective? And what can I get out of the service manual? How can the service manual help me? List all the duties of a delegate. But also remember that the concepts in the back are spiritual principles that apply to my position as delegate. And really, my position is GSR and DCM too. So I think that's pretty much what I want to share. It's 32 minutes. That'll give us plenty of time for questions if you guys have any. Thanks for the opportunity to share my experience with being a delegate. It was a great, amazing opportunity. And I'm grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous and God that I was able to do it. But I'm dramatically relieved that I've rotated off. So thanks for having me.
So, Shane, do you have anything at you so far?
Let's see here what we have, if anything. So this looks like more instruction. Somebody's made a comment, herding cats. That was directly to me. So, yeah, it's like herding cats. This is page 37 of the service manual. That's about leadership. Another qualification. So it looks like we put up some stuff about leadership. Here's one question. How does your past delegates participate? That's a tough one. How does your past delegates participate at your area? Do they have a vote? Do they have a voice and overshadow the mic? Do they sit with current practice? Do they have a table? So great question. So our past delegates at Area 64 have a lifetime voice and vote. And I know there's a lot of controversy around that. Most of my friends, like Larry C. and Billy N., your friend Billy, who's here, they are opposed to delegates having a lifetime voice and vote. But that's what we've always done at Area 64. Now, we try to give them responsibility to sort of justify that voice and vote. That could be holding a GSR orientation. They always run our elections. So every time we have an election every 2 years, it's past delegates that do that. We try to have them available if there's any questions on historical information that we might need. When we form an ad hoc committee based on any performance or responsibility of the delegate, obviously they're on the ad hoc committee. So for instance, 2 years ago, we wanted to find out if the budget that we give delegates was adequate enough for them with, for the expenses that they had while they served, and we give a really healthy budget to delegates where we expect them to do a lot. Like we want to go to Southeast Regional Forum, the Southeast delegates get together and want to go to the Tiki Paw State Convention. We want them on the road doing pre and post conference reports. So sometimes overnight you go to Memphis, it's 7 hours from Chattanooga. So, we put together this ad hoc committee on what the budget that we have for delegates fits, how much money we give them. Well, who better than past delegates to be on that ad hoc committee, right? So the way we've looked at it, the way we've justified the voice and vote of past delegates is that we need them to be here to help usher in new people and provide guidance and historical background when it's needed. That being said, there's been problems in the past where past delegates drive agenda. They won't get off the mic. Corey D., who I want to recognize, who's Area 26 alternate delegate, also my sponsee. Corey, are you still on here somewhere? He's on here. By the way, Corey's 65-55 Nets. So Corey got me into watching NBA. So every night we talk NBA. But anyway, Corey left the area assembly. He's like, well, dude, I see now. Well, people don't want past delegates having a voice in the boat because we had one particular one that was running to the mic constantly all weekend. And it got so bad a couple, 2-3 years ago with agenda driving that there was a group that put together a structure change to take the voice and vote away from past delegates, but it failed. Because most people felt like, there's still this value there for, support, for guidance, historical background. We've got one or two of them that are probably not doing what they should. Maybe a, side conversation with them. But that, yeah, and they don't have their own table. They just usually sit with their district or wherever. So I think that answers that question. So we got quite a few more. Do you have any experience with delegates serving as area chair or at an area level after being delegate? Well, not at Area 64, but sure, that's pretty common. And actually, Area 26, Kentucky is that way or has been. So you serve as alternate delegate and delegate, and then you go to chair. We had one delegate do that at Area 64, JD, who just for some reason the rotation happened where he went from secretary to alternate delegate to delegate and then the area chair. So, but at Area 64, the typical pathway is alternate delegate to delegate to I'm sorry, chairperson, alternate delegate to delegate. And that's what I did. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's up to each area. I guess this happens in my area sometimes, but what concerns me is when a delegate who has a voice and a vote takes another voting position, right? Now at Area 26, delegates don't have a lifetime voice and vote. So you have a voice and vote while you're serving delegate, and then you rotate off as delegate. And if you get elected area chair, you have another voice and vote, which you probably wouldn't exercise much, but you don't have a voice and vote as delegate. It would be really weird if you had a voice and vote for life as past delegate and then you served as area chair, right? Because then you're taking a vote away from somebody else. I believe in rotation. I don't get into this forever GSR thing and forever DCM thing. Well, I'm DCM again. Nobody else would take it. You know, in the AA group pamphlet, it talks about rotation. It talks about how difficult it is. And it talks about how sometimes we're going to be convinced that no one else is willing or available to take our position. And you know what? Sometimes it's best if we let that position go and there's no one there to serve it instead of taking that position again. So I'm sure that none of y'all have ever done this and you won't ever do it. But at Area 64, we have a few key individuals that seem to rotate around certain positions so they can finally get back to DCM and stand as delegate. Because in Area 64, you either have to have, you have to be an outgoing DCM or be an area officer to stand for delegate, right? So, you know, I'm all for rotation. I'm not completely opposed to going from alternate delegate to chairperson, right? It just depends on the context. I do support area, you know, consciousness, whatever the area decides is what's good for that area. So I think the area ought to stick to what they've decided to do. So let's see what else we got. Past delegates, fantastic. Can you expand more on how important it is to share the background info? It's essential. It's paramount. It's a requirement. Hey, you know, it's like the number one job of a delegate is to gather the viewpoints and opinions of their respective groups in their area to take to the conference. They cannot do that unless the groups have studied the background. The groups can't study the background unless the background is sent out, right? So we send it out to every voting member we have an email for, and we encourage them to send it out to any alcoholic that they want to, any member of Alcoholics Anonymous that they want to. We don't harbor information. We don't keep information. You know, one of the things that's sort of driven Area 64 in the last, I'd say, 4 to 6 years is that, you know, there's been so much harboring of information. There's been so much withholding information from the fellowship, from a lot of people, from GSO staff, from AAWS, from the General Service Board, from the Grapevine Board. We're not asking for DNA samples or FICO scores or anything like that. We just want to know what's going on that's pertinent to the fellowship. Like, we have a right to know that, you know. And I've heard of delegates being selective in who they send the background out to. Why? Why would you cherry pick certain people within your area to send the background out to? On SES, every February 15th, 16th, and 17th, we start talking about the background, and somebody always says, I don't have this. I'm a GSR or DCM. My delegate hasn't sent it out. Can I get it from you? Some people will say, no, Shane, don't send background out to someone outside of your area. You know what I did? Sent it. I will send it to any alcoholic, any member of Alcoholics Anonymous that's interested in knowing more about all things AA as a whole. Send it. Send it as much as you can, as quickly as you can. Use technology. Don't be afraid. You know, it's an anonymity protected. Now, occasionally they'll say, oh, hey, like page 674 wasn't, you know, anonymous. There's a last name on there, and you have to fix that. But it's meant to be sent out. It's left up to the delegate's discretion on whom to send it out. You can send it out to whoever you want to. If you're a GSR and your delegate's not sending the background out, I would suggest that you ask, why are we not getting the background at the next Area 64 assembly? If you're a DCM and you're not getting the background, I would ask why not. If you're not sending it to your GSRs, that's no bueno. You need to send it out, right? So if you have it in your possession, send it out. If you're not getting it, find out who you can get it from or why you're not getting it. We have to be talking about that background pretty much year round. We're either going to be talking about what's going on at conference or what just happened at conference or what's going to be going on at conference year round. That's what we do in the general service conference structure, which is the service leg of the triangle. You follow me? Shane, thanks for your service. Given that only approximately 36% of groups participate in general service, what efforts are being made to reach out to the uneducated and apathetic groups to encourage them to participate? Here's the deal. Great question. But that is an organic grassroots project, right? So there will never be policy, there will never be procedure, there will never be guidelines on how to turn 36% into 60. We have to do it ourselves, right? So in Area 64, when I was DCM, we would have a pre-conference report at the second quarter assembly, and 6 to 8 people would come. I never heard anything about background. My second year of DCM, I did, because I started asking about it. But as GSR and first year DCM, never heard about background, pre-conference report, post-conference report. We were averaging about 120 to 123 voting members every assembly. My buddy John P. came. We were both DCMs. We served together. We caught great passion. He got elected alternate delegate. I got elected Area 64 chair. We made a decision one night over Red Bull, which I don't drink anymore. But over Red Bull, we sat down and we said, hey, listen, well, truth be told, it was probably something more aggressive like Bang and Monster and whatever. But anyway, we said, let's rip the roof off information in Area 64 and see what happens. Let's inject ourselves into every district in Area 64 and put the background on a big old PowerPoint and talk everything about New York and see what happens. And within 3 years, we went from 120 average voting members to 174. Now, if you're a math guy like I am, engineer, that's a dramatic increase in participation. And then what happened? Well, COVID hit and it, you know, went shit. But anyway, I think when Corey was there, we were, I think 140 something. Last time we were 120 something. This is the second in-person area assembly we've had in 2.5 years. So it sort of dropped off when the pandemic hit, but we boosted participation because we were talking information, right? So if we're going to move 36% to 40 or 45 or 60 or 70, we're going to have to do it ourselves. We're going to have to sound like I sound right now. We're going to have to sound fired up and excited and passionate. We're going to have to breathe a sense of emergency within the fellowship and say, wake up, Alcoholics Anonymous. There's all kinds of stuff going on. We're rewriting the big book. You might love that. You might not. We're rewriting the preamble. We're rewriting the 12 and 12. We're rewriting Bill's writings. We've launched a podcast, which, by the way, your buddy Billy N just did a podcast episode. I don't know if you've had that on the grapevine. Check it out. But we just launched a podcast that was special in my heart because I was PI chair and that was on our committee. We're tightening up LinkedIn. We're looking at other stuff. We're thinking about, hey, can we put PSAs on Twitter? Or PSAs on Netflix, or PSAs on Hulu, or PSAs on Amazon Prime. The world of Alcoholics Anonymous is changing. It requires all of us to sit at the table as a team and make these decisions effectively together. That's the message that they have to hear, right? You know, when a GSR wouldn't show up for a district meeting, I would call a man and I would just be so disappointed, you know. And I mean, you know, it's kind of like, you know, talking to my 3-year-old, you know, Asher, you have really hurt Daddy when you smeared that Play-Doh all over his brand new wall. But anyway, you know, it's like you inflict this sense of responsibility. I would call him up. I'd say, Tony, dude, like, where were you? We had a district meeting Saturday at 2:00 and we voted on a picnic. You know, like I literally looked at the door like every 5 minutes, waiting for the door open to see your face come through. Like, what happened, dude? I was waiting for you for like 2 hours. I kept thinking you were going to come. I kept checking my phone. Dude, I'm so sorry. But, you know, I made him understand that I expected him there. And then when he wasn't there, I was really disappointed and almost saddened, you know, and some of that's partly true. But it's me trying to motivate him with a sense of, you know, give him a sense of responsibility and commitment. Right. Because we just don't come into Alcoholics Anonymous like that. Right. So I don't know that there's anything underway. I haven't really heard. You know, me and a few other select people who have really been sort of dialed in and built relationships on boards and, you know, my friend Joshi and Bo and other people, we've had multiple conversations about why we only send information to delegates. Like I've always told them, if we know that delegates are not sometimes emotionally sober or stable or don't do what they're supposed to, or just maybe not that great leaders, not everybody's cut out to be a great leader. Why are we only sending stuff to them? You've got an email for every group that you take a check from. If you can take a check from a home group, why can't you send us the background? Communication within structure or figuring out ways to, like, we got to figure that out ourselves. But that's what we did with recovery, right? That's what we've done with sobriety, right? Like, we take the recovery program to the next suffering alcoholic. You know, we've got some directions in our big book and working with others, but we don't have guidance from GSO, you know, on how to 12-step a drunk, you know, what do you do when he's throwing up all over your shoes and he wants to kill us and blah, blah, blah. We figured all that out on our own, right? We can figure this out on our own. We can move that 36% to a much greater number if we just start talking about the truth and we encourage people to participate and pay attention. Speak some more about if your heart isn't in it, people won't listen. How can we as trusted servants of General Service get more motivated ourselves? So that's a good question. And you're probably not going to like my answer, but here's what it is. I don't like this saying, I got elected when I went to the bathroom. That is the worst way to elect any trusted servant, even a district standing committee chair, a district CPC chair, right? Once again, there's principles in our concepts that Bill talks about on how we should choose the next leader for a position. And that's in concept 9. We pick people who are passionate, who are available, who are knowledgeable, who do have an interest, so we don't have to run into that, right? We don't have to get somebody to care after we elect them because we've elected someone that cared, right? So what if I get elected because I went to the bathroom or there was nobody else to take the spot and I really just don't care about all this stuff, right? That's kind of like, how do I get up at 6:40 in the morning every morning? I don't have to start work till like 9:30, 10 o'clock. But how do I make myself get up at 6:40, which is real early for me because Corey and I are talking about the Celtics and the Nets sometimes at 1 o'clock in the morning. How do I make myself get up at 6:40 in the morning and get my preschooler dressed? Well, he don't want to get up either, right? And like put him together and take him to preschool, you know, pre-K. Like, how do I motivate? It's the same thing for every area in our life. How do I motivate myself to go to the gym when I don't want to? You know, other than, you know, look beautiful. But how do I motivate myself to do the things in life that I don't want to do, that I really don't have passion for, but I know that I have a responsibility to do that's good for me? I pray, I ask for guidance and direction, I ask for strength. I read 86 and 87 and 88. I say, God, direct my thinking, divorce it from self-pity, dishonest or self-seeking motives. And you know what? I don't want to be a delegate right now. I don't want to be a GSR. I probably should have never took this position in the first place. However, I recognize I have a commitment to my group, my district, my area with the next 2 years. Guide me, direct me, move me. I am you. I belong to you. Please help me be the best trusted servant that I can be until I can get the hell out of this position, right? We rely on God and we ask for guidance and strength. But the most important answer to that question is, if you don't have a passion for this stuff and you don't have some interest at some level, it's okay not to serve. There's lots of other things that you can do in Alcoholics Anonymous that is equally important. Not everybody's cut out for general service. You know, if you're not interested in what's in the background, you probably wouldn't make a very good delegate. You know, if you're not interested in going to district meetings or area assemblies, you know, and you're knowledgeable, like you've been introduced to it. I think there's one thing where we just don't know about stuff, like I talked about earlier, where it's my responsibility to share with you. Like if I blew a fire under you tonight talking about all this and you're excited and you're good to go, great. But if you've heard all this and paid attention, you're like, you know what? I just feel like I'm not feeling that. That's not my vibe. That's not my deal. You know, maybe general service is not for you, and that's okay. You know, it's more important that we find you a spot in AA where you can be happy in, and then we fill the spots with people who are passionate, who not just will do the work, but want to do the work. I think that's the best I can answer that. Can a past delegate be elected as a GSR after they finish their term as delegate? I mean, why would they do that? Why would a past delegate take a position as a GSR? I mean, it's got to be ego. Sorry, just to have another voting position. No, they can. There's no, you know, the only thing that we have is literature says a delegate can't be a delegate again, you know, for that same area. Now, oddly enough, I've heard people being a delegate in, you know, one area and then 20 years later being a delegate in another area. But yeah, a delegate can serve as a GSR, but why would they want to do that? That's would not be appropriate in my book, right? Can you speak a little about being at the conference and working with other delegates in a committee? Are you ever presented with extra background information? Are the sessions timed in order to give everyone adequate time to share? How does the staff member on the committee with delegates assist? Thank you. That's a great question. Can you speak a little bit about the conference and working with delegates in the committee? Are you ever presented with extra? Sure. You're presented with that extra background. A great example is we saw the first full face actor PSAs in committee that I'm not even sure if they've been released to the fellowship yet, but we had to review the PSAs in order to decide whether we want to make a recommendation out of committee, right? So we were able to see them before the conference or the fellowship song. As the public information chair, I actually had more, exposure to what was going on the Trustees Committee on Public Information, because I was able to attend that, you know, virtually, of course. But, you know, Trish was the trustee at large that was the chair of the Trustees Committee on Public Information. So they brought me in. They were all on Zoom, too. They brought me in and I was able to see them work and also provide feedback on how my committee felt about the work that they were working on. Right. So you do get more information and more background than other conference members in the fellowship initially. Eventually, you know, everyone will get that information. You know, the staff member takes notes, helps keep things moving in a forward direction. Now, probably, as you can tell, I typically don't have a problem chairing meetings and keeping things moving in a forward direction. So when I was chair at the 71st, you know, I didn't need a ton of help from GSO staff to try to, you know, keep us going. We sort of looked at our agenda. We divvied it up and how much time we had. We pencil whipped the recommendations that we wanted to make. I would work after conference, put the recommendation together, send it out to committee, let them vote on it. And then what's most important is a GSO staff member would help rewrite that recommendation to help it sort of fit the profile, verbiage, or language that's traditional and typical for conference language, right? I'm an engineer by trade. I'm a really good, you know, technical writer, but I'm not like a conference writer, like a recommendation writer. So she had to sort of tighten it up a little to make it sound like a recommendation. And she would send that to us and say, is this what you guys are trying to say? Does this sound okay? I changed this word to this and I did that and that. And, you know, engineers use words like shall, owner shall, you know, vendor must, you know. So my recommendation sounded like something an engineer would write for a spec book on a you know, pipe spec. So that's mainly what they do. They help keep order of the committee meetings. They help write recommendations. You know, they sometimes explain, which we didn't need a lot of this, but sometimes explain, you know, conference process. I think that answers how the staff member on committee delegates assist. Yeah. Can you share on past delegate being given expenses to come to an assembly if they ask to participate? We don't do that in Area C Sports. It's on their own dime. So no matter what we ask you to do, whether it's be on an ad hoc committee, like you're on your own. So I guess we feel like we're going to give you a voice and a vote, and that's good enough, and you can get here if you want to participate. And we just don't pay our past dollars. I'm okay with an area doing that because it's not my money. It's area whatever, right? Like, I'm a super big advocate for areas doing what they want as long as within the confines of traditions and concepts. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to tell you, well, area 26, now Corey and I might have conversations as sponsee about his area and what I think it should look like or what we do or what would be better. But I'm not going to publicly say anything about an area because it's that area, right? And their autonomous is less than negatively impact other areas. So, you know, I might not think it's a great idea to send money to central office as an area. We don't do that, but I'm not going to say that your area shouldn't be doing that unless it's maybe a private conversation, whatever. But we don't do that. But, you know, if other areas want to do that, fine. Let's see. Although 21st century technology has proven itself in conducting business, there is still the phrase, that's the way we've already done it. I guess always done it, right? Will enthusiasm toward a more prudent and visionary way of conducting AA business be enough to sway the resistance and fear of change in AA members? A couple of things. As an advocate for technology over the last 4 to 5 years, I think we always have to have these conversations. Point out that one of the key failures in our communication per the communications audit was a lack of adoption of technology. So we need to tell everybody in AA, hey, we suck at communicating. And the number one reason why we suck is because we won't adopt technology. Number two, we've adopted technology much better as a result of the pandemic now. We've got an active podcast. We're going to launch an AAWS podcast. We've got a Great Dime podcast. We've done 70 and 71st General Service Conference on Zoom. You know, every AA member, you know, that needed to make meetings, they're going to pull themselves together and go to Zoom. As a result of the pandemic, you know, the greatest gift that the pandemic gave Alcoholics Anonymous was an adoption of technology. So that's number two. Number one, we must always talk about it. Number two, I think we're getting better. And number three, and this is going to sound terrible, but, people who are reluctant to adopt and endorse and advocate technology, I'm trying to think of the nice way to say it because I'm thinking about my mother, the baby boomer. But here's what I'm trying to say. We are gaining far more new members that support technology than we are who don't. You get it? So there's a certain demographic that's less likely to be supportive of technology. And, you know, they're giving their grandkids money because they're working their way into heaven. You know what I mean? So sort of, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, the older generation that's less likely to adopt technology won't be here forever. You know, my 3.5-year-old knows how to operate his iPad Pro better than I do. I'm like, Asher, turn that down. Daddy's on the phone. And I'm waiting for him to touch the top button on the iPad. He taps the screen, pulls down a volume button, slides it over and says, no problem, Dad. So he's operating technology better than I am. And he's in pre-K for 3-year-olds. So his people, when they come into AA, you're not going to hear any resistance about technology from them. Right. But my sponsor, Larry A, who's 72, refuses to get on Zoom, bless his heart. So I think the problem is going to start taking care of itself, if you know what I mean. We're out of time, 9 o'clock, but we've got, what do you want to do, D? A couple more questions. We can close.
Well, we're just going to close with a responsibility statement. And then if you have time, that's fine. Otherwise, but thank you. Yeah. So go ahead and close us out with a responsibility statement. It's all you. That's usually what I do with Billy. And then we'll finish those up if you want. And we'll say goodnight. Thank you, dear.
Am I muted? Okay. I am responsible.
And for that, I am responsible as he muted himself.
But anyway, y'all, you want me to try to go through these real quick, or do you guys?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, no. Go ahead. You're fine. Go ahead, dear. Yeah.
Okay. So there's the one about baby boomers. We've answered that. Speak some more about if your heart isn't. We answered that. Oh wait. Okay, I'm a Zoom stag meeting GSR. Sometimes we have 3 attendees, sometimes 10. I found this problematic in fulfilling my role. Advice. I'm a Zoom stag meeting GSR. So I assume that means an all men's meeting on Zoom that you're a GSR for, and you have sometimes 3 to 10 attendees. I found this problematic in fulfilling my role. Advice. I would say I'm an advocate for technology, so I'm not going to blame the technology, right? I'm not going to say since you're on Zoom, you can't be an effective GSR and keep your group plugged in. And I'm not even going to say that since you're a men's group, men don't care about general service, because I know some really active men's groups in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm going to say that you need to implement some of the tools that we've talked about, right? You need to sort of get fired up yourself. You need to start sharing information. One of the things that I encourage GSRs to do is search in the background something that you know will upset your group. So if your group is a big book thumping group, talk about the playing those big book and watch them get fired up, right? If your group is LGBT friendly, talk to them about the dissent in the fellowship about gender neutrality, or the examples in the background of why that demographic feels like we need more gender neutrality, right? If you have, you know, a free thinking agnostic group, you know, talk about the examples to soften the religious language in some of our texts, or the argument behind that, right? Like, look for what will get your group fired up and talk about that. That's what I would encourage you to do. Is the old Shane S back for good? Oh, that's Carrie Blake. Oh, Carrie, glad you're here. Good news. Thanks for your support. Bless your heart. What about meeting that had, well, I'll just speak on that. So Carrie makes his point, is the old Shane S back for good? Booyah. So I will say this. I will say that as I served, particularly alternate delegate in the first year, maybe year and a half of delegate, I did get caught up in some stuff that I feel like was probably less representative of who I am as a person. And it's easy to do that. You know, I got tired of fighting, right? I got tired of defending principles and traditions in AA that I know is important, that will always be close to my heart. But I just got I got tired of fighting that. And what I realized, too, is at the same time that I'm advocating for technology and I'm having conversations about getting technology across the line, those same people I'm arguing with about more fundamental attitudes I have towards other stuff. So I'm a dichotomy in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm super liberal on technology and I'm fundamental on Big Book and Recovery Program. I believe the recovery program is found in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And the component of that is finding a higher power. Period. I don't think we get to rewrite the recovery program of alcoholism. However, I want a Twitter page. You usually don't see that. Most people that are pro technology are pro plain English Big Book, fifth edition Big Book. The program is what works for you. If your program is going to meetings, not all of them, right? But most of them. So I found myself in this place where I'm trying to negotiate, is outlining concept nine and get technology across the line with people I was constantly butting heads with on other stuff. So what did I do? Did I change my position on Big Book and recovery program? No, I just quit talking about it. Right? I quit talking about it. So that's why I was saying that it's important to stay well-grounded in the 12 steps. The 12 steps will take the rough edges off of that stuff. I still think we're going to make bumps in the road. You know what I think is a real mistake? Not necessarily doing that, but not inventorying it after you serve and recognizing and admitting what you did. Any delegate that says, I was talking to this past trustee on SES, and I said, hey, can you come up with anything in the 4 years that you served the board that you should have done differently? And he says, not that I know of. You know, somebody says, can you think of anything that you did in the 4 years that you served as officer delegate that you could have done or wish you'd done different? Whole bunch of stuff. Being quiet when I should have talked, getting tired of fighting the fight, you know, being selective in the things that I said, not like tonight. You know, you've got the full Shane Shepherd. Giving canned talks or positions because I didn't want to upset the crowd, right? So, of course, you know, serving is a growth process, right? So, anyway, I just want to touch on that. What about meeting that has obviously uninterested? What about a meeting that has an obviously uninterested GSR? Then it's your responsibility to keep them accountable. So you start asking for stuff. Did you go into assembly? If you did, we want a report. I make a motion that the GSR give a report to the group next time they go to an assembly, right? If the GSR didn't go to assembly, I make a motion that the GSR go to the next assembly. I make a motion that the GSR step down if he's not willing to go or she's not willing to go to area assemblies. You know, you have to charge people with accountability if they're not willing to do anything. Eventually, they'll either do it or they'll resign and you'll get somebody that will. But if you just sit there and wait on them to do the work, they're not going to do the work, right? Thank you for your enthusiasm and commitment to service. Honesty, hope, and the list goes on. Appreciate you taking the time. Betsy S. Betsy, you are too kind and you are a sweetheart and just hit one of my favorite persons list. Now, there's a conference advisory action for action that recommends that past delegates not take a voting position such as DCM or GSR. Well, here's the great news. The conference can't tell an area or a district or a group what they can and cannot do. Right? So you can submit all you want to conference to have them set guidelines and procedures and policies within our groups and districts, but they can't do that. And even if they vote on that and it passes, it's out of order because who's on top? A group. A group is on top of the structure. The conference way down here, which is made up of conference delegates, 93 of which the majority represent areas, groups and areas, representing those groups and areas. As an area 64 delegate, I can't make a decision about what a DCM can do in area 26. Right? So good for that. But the conference will never be able to tell. The conference will never be able to tell a group or a DCM. I don't think that they should serve. But anyway, not a question, but serve in a group and we currently meet. Okay, let me go. What is the name of the podcast? You were great. What is the name? You were great. Thank you. Thank you. What is the name of the podcast? It's I'm not sure. It's great. I can look it up. It's great. Just go to if you have a podcast app, doesn't matter what it is, whatever podcast app, type in Grapevine and you should be able to pull it up with no problem. I can send you a link if I need to. I think it's just Grapevine something. I can't remember, but it's easy to find. You'll find it no problem. Josh E., a friend of mine, did the first talk Billy just did one not too long ago. Now, the Grapevine podcast is hit or miss for me. Some of the content's really good. Some of it not so good. I have greater hopes for AAWS. We knew that that would take longer to streamline and to get out than Grapevine. So we wanted to get something out. That's why we didn't vote. We didn't make a recommendation for a Grapevine podcast, but we assumed that's probably what it would be to start off with. And then later on, we would have an AAWS podcast. Was it a podcast? Is there a podcast on Apple? Yes, it should be. It is on mine. Well, I have a podcast app. So let me just pull this up. We'll see. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys can. You can't see that, can you? Why can't you see that? I mean, could we not like make technology where I can show you a screenshot? Anyway, it's called AA Grapevine's Podcast by AA Grapevine Incorporated. And yes, it's on iTunes. Well, not iTunes, but the podcast app on Apple. I am a 72-year sponsor and love technology. I'm hosting a rash of meetings online, and thanks for your presentation. Thank you for your service work. You're welcome. Not a question, but I serve intergroup, and we currently meet on Zoom, and some of the older intergroup delegates who don't embrace technology want to change things, like meet in person rather than a group get a new delegate. They can cause some trouble. Yeah, I agree. I would also say that there's value in meeting in person. I'm not a technology advocate in the sense that I don't think we should come together, because I can tell you it's significantly different meeting in an area assembly with everybody together live face-to-face than it is online. You get a lot more work done. You have much better conversations. I think for this, where we're reaching people all across the world, I think it's great, right? I think there will always be a need for Zoom, in environments where we're reaching out all over the place. But I'm not really in favor of a district going to Zoom just because they don't want to meet in person. I think that at this point in time, unless some other weird variant comes, we ought to be trying to do our best to get together, because I have watched apathy increase through the pandemic. It's been a thing that we've had to work through and fight in Area 64. The conversation's not as accurate. It's not as passionate. It's just much more difficult to handle business. I mean, I understand it's more convenient and people who can't get out of the house can come. And at some level, I support all that. But I think if we can come together, let's come together. Another question, Carrie says. Oh, that's sweet. Question. Let's see. Does your GSRs have a vote in motion making abilities at assembly? Absolutely. I know areas who don't do that, or areas who don't do that unless it's an election. But how can you get GSRs in your area fired up if you don't give them a voice and vote at an assembly? And they'll say this: well, we give BCMs a voice and a vote in assembly. They represent the groups. Well, sure they do, but they can't represent all the groups. Like, what if you have 16 groups in a district and 8 of them want the preamble changed and 8 of them don't? How does a DCM vote? Or what I've seen before is 16 of them want the preamble changed and the DCM goes and he votes against the preamble, right? But the most important thing is that, and not because he was given right of decision and he voted on the behalf of Bay as a whole, because he don't want the preamble changed, and that's how he voted, right? But it's important that we allow people to participate, to be a part of the discussion. I don't know why an area, maybe somebody can explain it to me down the road, but I just don't understand why an area would not allow GSRs a voice and vote at area assemblies. These put up, Grapevine podcast link. See, okay, that's it. That's all of our questions. So you guys have been a great audience, asked lots of good questions. I will do this. Here is my number.